Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Class Action, The Landmark Case That Changed Sexual Harassment Law is a nonfiction account by Clara Bingham, co-written with Laura Leedy Gansler, that reconstructs the first sexual harassment class action lawsuit in the United States, Jensen v. Eveleth Mines. Centered on Lois Jensen and other women who worked at a northern Minnesota iron mine, the book explains how routine abuse, retaliation, and institutional indifference were transformed into a legal claim capable of changing national precedent. It combines reporting, legal analysis, and historical narrative to show how a workplace culture can normalize misconduct and how the law eventually gives that harm a name. Rather than treating the case as an isolated courtroom drama, the book places it in the larger context of women entering male-dominated industrial work. The evolution of employment discrimination law and the difficulty of proving patterns of harassment across a group. Its purpose is both documentary and explanatory to preserve the human story behind a landmark decision and to clarify why the case mattered far beyond one mine in Minnesota. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how Lois Jensen and the Eveleth Mine women turned daily abuse into a class action. The book begins with a concrete social and legal problem. Women hired into a heavily male industrial workplace encountered repeated harassment that was often treated as ordinary roughness rather than discrimination. Bingham and Gansler show why Lois Jensen became such an important figure. She was not presented as a symbolic ideal, but as a working woman whose experience reflected the broader conditions facing her coworkers. The significance of the case lies in the collective pattern, not in a single dramatic event. That choice matters because sexual harassment law often depends on proving conduct that is dispersed, repetitive, and normalized by the workplace culture, by following multiple women and the specific environment of the mine. The book demonstrates how legal claims emerge when personal injury is recognized as part of a broader structure. It explains why class action status was crucial. Individual complaints could be isolated, minimized, or dismissed, while a class action could show a systemic pattern of harm. The result is an account of legal transformation that begins with the lived reality of women trying to work under sustained hostility. Secondly, a clear explanation of how sexual harassment became a legally recognizable workplace injury. One of the book's main strengths is the way it translates legal doctrine into accessible narrative. It does not assume that readers already understand the development of sexual harassment law, so it carefully shows how behaviors once dismissed as jokes, comments, or rough behavior can be understood as discriminatory conduct. The book makes the broader legal point that harassment is not limited to physical assault or overt propositions. It can also include repeated sexual remarks, intimidation, humiliation, and retaliation that make employment conditions unequal. This is important because the case helped clarify that hostile work environments are legally actionable, not merely unpleasant. The authors connect the facts at Eveleth Mines to the larger evolution of employment discrimination law, especially the recognition that patterns of conduct can violate workplace rights even when no single incident appears decisive on its own. In this way, the book serves as both history and legal education. It helps readers understand how the law identifies harm, how evidence is assembled, and why precedent matters when a court names a recurring pattern as discrimination rather than private conflict. Thirdly, the book's method combining journalism, legal analysis, and narrative realism, Class Action stands out because it is built from two complementary disciplines. Clara Bingham contributes journalistic clarity and a reportorial structure, while Laura Leedy Gansler adds legal experience and an eye for procedural detail. That combination allows the book to remain readable without simplifying the case into a neat heroic drama. The narrative includes a large cast of participants, a long timeline, and the slow, frustrating pace of litigation, all of which are essential to understanding how landmark cases actually unfold. Instead of compressing the story into a conventional courtroom victory, the authors emphasize the expense, emotional exhaustion, and uncertainty involved in pursuing justice. This method gives the book credibility. Readers are not asked to accept the case as a symbol alone. They are shown the mechanics of proof, negotiation, delay, and legal framing. The result is a form of investigative narrative that treats the court process as a social institution rather than a dramatic finale. That approach makes the book useful to readers interested in law, labor, and women's history because it explains not only what happened, but also how legal meaning is constructed from everyday events. Fourthly, why the case mattered beyond one lawsuit precedent, public awareness, and cultural change. The book argues that Jensen v. Eveleth Mines mattered because it changed what workers, employers, and courts could understand as sexual harassment. The ruling granted women employees the right to sue as a class, which made it easier to address systematic abuse rather than isolated grievances. That legal shift had practical consequences. Employers could no longer rely on the idea that harassment was simply interpersonal friction. and future plaintiffs had a stronger framework for proving workplace patterns. The book also shows how the case contributed to public awareness by giving visibility to forms of misconduct that were often dismissed or hidden. In this sense, the case is not just a legal milestone, but a cultural one. It helped move sexual harassment from a marginal complaint to a recognized civil rights issue. The later adaptation into the film North Country reflects that wider resonance, though the book itself remains more focused on the real case and its legal significance. By tracing the consequences of the litigation, the authors show how one case can influence legal language, employer responsibility, and the vocabulary used to discuss gendered power in the workplace. Lastly, a sober portrait of the costs of justice for women in hostile work environments. Rather than presenting the case as a triumphant ending, the book repeatedly emphasizes the burden carried by the women who pursued it. That includes emotional strain, social isolation, and the difficulty of sustaining a legal fight against a powerful employer in a small community. This focus gives the book moral and analytical depth. It makes clear that landmark victories are not costless, even when they produce important precedent. The process itself can expose plaintiffs to further scrutiny and demand years of endurance. By showing those costs, the authors resist a simplistic progress narrative in which justice appears cleanly and quickly. The book also underscores the practical reality that legal recognition does not automatically erase workplace culture or protect future workers by itself. Lasting change requires enforcement, institutional responsibility, and public attention. This sober perspective is one reason the book remains relevant. It speaks to readers who want to understand not only how a landmark case is won, but what it takes from the people involved. The result is a nuanced account of legal change that values courage while refusing to romanticize the path to justice. In conclusion, Class Action is best suited for readers interested in women's history, labor conflict, employment law, civil rights, and nonfiction accounts of how legal precedent is made. It is especially valuable for readers who want to understand sexual harassment as a structural workplace problem rather than a series of isolated incidents. The book offers both a human story and a legal one, making it useful to general readers, students, and anyone studying the development of workplace rights. What distinguishes it from many similar books is its dual focus on lived experience and legal architecture. It does not merely recount suffering, and it does not reduce the case to doctrine. Instead, it shows how ordinary acts of humiliation, repetition, and institutional failure became legally legible as discrimination. Its clarity, research, and attention to the consequences of litigation make it stronger than a conventional true crime or courtroom narrative. For readers seeking a grounded explanation of how a landmark lawsuit reshaped sexual harassment law in the United States, this book remains an important and durable account. If you would like to support Clara Bingham, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.